Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, November 14th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis area food banks and pantries are struggling as uncertainty has plagued SNAP recipients this month during the government shutdown.
This has been traumatizing for clients. It's been traumatizing for our pantry. I just really hope this doesn't happen again.
St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell reports on how food aid providers and recipients are coping, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The Boeing strike is over. St. Louis area Boeing machinists voted to approve the company's latest offer, ending the strike that's lasted nearly 4 months. 68% of voting members opted to accept the offer. Union members say they have mixed feelings. The offer wasn't exactly what they were hoping for, but the strike has dragged on for a long time, and they say they are ready to return to work. Tom Pearson says he's happy that the contract passed. He says missing so many paychecks has been challenging.
It's hard. But now we get a paycheck coming in, I'm very happy, and we could start paying the bills.
The contract raised the signing bonus to $6,000, but did not make changes to the 401k plan or pay raises. Striking employees will start returning to work Sunday evening. The legal wrangling over putting a new congressional map for Missouri in front of voters has hit another snag and a delay. The group People Not Politicians is asking a judge to overturn Secretary of State Denny Hoskins' ruling that petition signatures collected before the map became law don't count toward putting the question on the ballot. Put Missouri First is a Republican-backed group trying to stop the vote. It has joined the case and is asking for a new judge. That led to a delay of yesterday's hearing. Richard Von Glahn is the executive director of People Not Politicians. He says Hoskins shouldn't be allowed to block his group's signatures.
The referendum process is about Missourians' voices being heard, and we shouldn't have a state official seeking to silence those voices arbitrarily.
This is one of several legal actions related to the new congressional maps designed to increase the number of Republican-held congressional seats in Missouri. After Immigration and Customs Enforcement detained a man from Staunton, Illinois, the Department of Homeland Security says a Belleville-based employee of U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth's office misrepresented himself as that man's attorney. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
ICE detained Ismael Ayuso Sandoval last month for a 2008 DUI and previously being deported 4 times. He still remains in ICE custody in St. Genevieve. DHS says Duckworth employee Edward York identified himself as an attorney of Sandoval. York then had Sandoval sign a form that allows individuals to authorize an attorney or representative on their behalf. But DHS says it couldn't verify if York is an attorney. And a Metro East lawyer later submitted that same form a couple days later for Sandoval. DHS sent a letter to the Illinois Democrat's office, asking for answers. A lawyer for York told Capital News Illinois he hadn't seen the letter from DHS. Duckworth's office also declined to comment. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Sunday marks 6 months since a tornado ripped across portions of St. Louis. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she's focused on finding displaced tornado victims' housing as winter approaches. Spencer says the city is prepared to spend roughly $13 million to expand shelter capacity and steer victims to temporary housing. The mayor says it may be years before it's clear if recovery efforts succeeded.
I think our highest, best mark of success is keeping our residents in place and ensuring that we have a path forward to everyone who lived in the tornado zone to have a path back to living in the city they call home.
Spencer says getting funds to tornado victims also remains a major endeavor for the city. You can hear more of Spencer's interview on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air today at noon and 7 p.m. on St. Louis Public Radio. St. Louis officials are preparing to start demolishing homes hit by the May tornado, but they say they need the state to expedite federal funding. STLPR's Andre Henderson reports.
Private property debris removal hasn't started just yet. However, city officials are collecting applications for its private property recovery program. The free program will provide demolition and major debris removal for residents whose homes were hit by the May tornado. It also offers home stabilization and repair assistance. City officials hope to start the demolition process soon, but FEMA funding is held up by state officials. Julian Nix is the city's chief recovery officer.
Debris and demolition at scale probably won't happen from a state perspective till probably January, and we're scaling our repair program actively now.
To apply for any recovery programs, visit app.stlrecovers.com. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Demolition of the Millennium Hotel in downtown St. Louis is now underway. The Gateway Arch Park Foundation announced the destruction of the nearly 60-year-old building began yesterday. The 28-story building has sat vacant since 2014. Developer Cordish Companies plans a $670 million redevelopment of the site, which the foundation calls a bold step forward for downtown. The hotel was originally constructed in 1968 and famously featured a rotating restaurant overlooking the city on its top floor. The foundation plans a story-collecting initiative to preserve memories of the hotel. A data center developer is eyeing Festus as a potential site for new projects. As STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri reports, city leaders see the potential for massive economic benefits, but do expect pushback.
CRG, Clayco's data center development arm, says they've approached the city over several parcels of land where it hopes to build data centers. They boast that the possible projects could inject up to $40 million into the area's tax base. City Administrator Greg Camp says the projects could cost more than $1 billion and would be transformative for the area.
The resources that would become available to make an impact in everyday life is really something that you just don't see.
Camp says while the economic impact could be great, the city also expects pushback from the public. The city recently passed rules that data center proposals must fulfill, including community meetings, decibel restrictions, and notifications to any nearby residents of the development. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis City SC will have a new schedule for its soccer seasons. Major League Soccer approved a change for the league that will have the seasons run from July to May with a break from mid-December into February. The current schedule runs from February to November. The move aligns the U.S. top soccer league with schedules of other leagues around the world. Some specifics of the format, including what playoffs would look like, are yet to be determined. It will take effect starting in 2027. St. Louis area food banks and pantries are stretched thin. The uncertainty surrounding SNAP benefits during the government shutdown, along with rising food costs and the ongoing impact of the May 16th tornado, are adding extensive pressure to the upcoming busy holiday season. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell has this report.
In early November, dozens of volunteers sort and pack food at the Operation Food Search warehouse. The need for food is always great in the St. Louis area, but recent uncertainty surrounding Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits has elevated that need even more. At the beginning of the month, SNAP recipients nationwide didn't know if they would receive any of their monthly funds due to the government shutdown. Courts ruled that at least partial benefits should be distributed nationally, but they were delayed in Missouri and nationwide. The impact of this delay has been great. Area food pantries have seen a major influx of clients this month who are concerned about feeding their families, putting a strain on the pantry's resources, staff, and volunteers.
So we know that our agencies are getting like overrun right now. Everybody's like, oh, just go to a pantry. They can help you. They can solve all this. But really they can't. They were already at capacity before this happened.
That's Jessica Murphy, the Metro Market Senior Manager at Operation Food Search. Operation Food Search supplies food to 170 pantries in Missouri and Illinois. One of them is the Rittner Co-Care Food Pantry in Overland. Executive Director Angela Gobble says her clients and volunteers are worried about the pantry running out of food.
This has been traumatizing for clients. It's been traumatizing for our pantry. I just really hope this doesn't happen again.
32-year-old Lucy Short is a St. Louis resident who receives SNAP benefits. She says not knowing when or if she will receive funds this month has put her in a difficult position.
It definitely makes me a lot more stressed Like, I think it just kind of puts everyone into survival mode.
Even before this crisis, the future of SNAP has been in question for months. On November 1st, new work requirements went into effect in Missouri, requiring that most recipients of the aid work, train, or volunteer for at least 20 hours per week to maintain eligibility. And in July, the Trump administration passed a spending bill that put several SNAP cuts and changes in place. These have not gone into effect yet, but the discussion surrounding it has raised questions for those who receive food aid. Darcella Craven is the director of government and community relations for Operation Food Search.
The biggest part of this is the miscommunication, the lack of communication, and the change in communication. People are nervous about that. We are having phone calls of people going, I don't know what's going on.
Additionally, an executive order from Governor Mike Kehoe might restrict what foods SNAP recipients can buy starting in late 2026. And cuts to the SNAP Ed program have decreased nutrition education in rural areas. On top of the constantly changing discussion around SNAP, food costs are rising and pantries are still seeing an increase in need due to the May 16th tornado. All of these factors are causing strain during the already busy holiday season, says Operation Food Search Chief Operating Officer Carlton Adams.
We'd already geared up for the season, so now we have to gear up on top of that to try to find more sources of food and nutritious food to distribute to the community. And then, just for good measure, we had a tornado on May 16th.
Many food aid providers say the one positive during this crisis has been the outpouring of community support. Food drives have popped up around the area and donations have increased. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
The government shutdown ended Wednesday night, meaning SNAP recipients should soon see their full benefits restored through September 2026. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. It's supposed to be sunny and high near 80 on Saturday in St. Louis. Wherever you're listening from, have a great weekend.